Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Tonight is a very simple message, but I believe it's a timely message. Thank you guys for coming out. You know, it's amazing how God can really touch a person's life. That on a Sunday evening, like we're in church. I know that's so simple, but I mean, I don't know about you, but you know, I wasn't always saved, and it was I like to party, I like to do a lot of ungodly things. But man, when God encounters you, when He gets a hold of your heart, man, there's no other place I want to be but in God's presence. And I know you guys feel the same way because you're here tonight. Amen. Just give me 1 second here. I want to talk to you for just a moment. You know, if we were to take a moment tonight and we were to reflect and look back over our lives and reflect on them, where we've come from, I'm pretty sure that every single one of us here can remember when we were in some really dark places. And I'm talking about those kind of places where you feel like you're dying. You know, it could be substance abuse. You know, it could have been incarceration, the loss of a loved one, maybe a divorce, and the list goes on and on and on. And those places are very painful. They hurt. And when you're in the midst of that, you don't know how to fix it. You don't know how to set yourself free. You don't know how to heal the hurt and the pain that you're experiencing. And you don't even really know where to turn to and how to bring the change. But we are here tonight, church, because somebody loved us enough to not leave us in that place to die. Now please listen to me. You might not have my story, but I know you got a story. And when you were in that pit, that broken place, that hurting, that painful place, somebody came to you. Somebody loved God enough to come and pray with you, to embrace you, to share the word of the Lord with you, to bring you to church. And so tonight, I want to minister a word to you that you guys have probably heard a million times if you've been walking with the Lord for a lot of years. But when I think about like where Pastor Alex has been taking us and things that he's been, you know, preaching and talking about in the congregation, and I think about what's taking place with DTC and the outreach ministries into our community, man, the timing is now for this city to be turned upside down for Jesus Christ. The time is now for us to affect our city. You know, I love the Word of God, and I'm a lot like Pastor Mike wherever he's at, but, you know, he talks about how when he reads the Word, he gets very visual, you know, and I've always been like that. When I read the Word, I kind of like insert myself into that situation or kind of see myself as David, you know, when in his fight with Goliath or whatever. And you know, it's this story, this parable that I'm going to talk about tonight, man, it's so powerful. It's so simple, but it's so powerful. And I would encourage you, guys, to try to put yourself in this story tonight. And may this story really, really minister to your hearts. You know, Jesus has a conversation with this lawyer, probably a Pharisee. And this Pharisee, this lawyer, tries to test Jesus. Somebody's always trying to test Jesus. But God is an all-consuming fire. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We're talking about the God that created the heavens and the earth, that literally gives life and breath to all things. But somebody's always trying to test him. And so this Pharisee asks him a question, and he says, well, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus turns and he says to him, and he says, well, what does the law say? And how do you read it? You know, what is your reading of it? And so the Pharisee, in all of his, you know, self-righteousness and everything, he says, well, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and your strength and all of your might and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus, he makes the statement. He says, well, you've read well, and that's right. So do this, and you shall live. You would think that that would be enough, but no, not for this self-righteous Pharisee. He begins to go on, and he tries to justify himself. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody's trying to justify themselves, they're probably in the wrong. And he tries to justify himself, and he says to Jesus, he says, well, who was my neighbor? You know, trying to make himself look good when he's really not doing right. And says, well, so who was my neighbor? And so then Jesus begins to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. And he talks about how this certain man, if you look at context and the conversation that's taken place, this certain man is a Jew. And we know that the Pharisees, they were Jews. And I was talking with my wife, you know, on our way here, and I just, God is, he's so awesome. And I think Jesus was getting a little cheeky with him. You know, the Pharisees, they walk around in all their self-righteousness and stuff, but Jesus used this parable, and he's really trying to correct them and show them that what you're doing isn't right. Let me show you how it's really done. And I find it interesting that he uses a Jew of his same people. So let's look to the word and let's take a look. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse number 30 tonight. Luke 10:30. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, looking at context here and background and all of that stuff, from Jerusalem to Jericho is somewhere around 15 to 20 miles. It's not just a flat, pleasant journey. But from Jerusalem to Jericho, there's a descent of somewhere around 3,000 feet. It's rocky, it's rough, there's twists, there's turns, and this is a very dangerous road that the bandits and the highwaymen and thieves and robbers and stuff would really kind of position themselves there to take advantage of people. And so here this man is, and he's on his journey, and he's heading back from Jerusalem, and he's heading to Jericho, and he falls among thieves, and they beat him up. They strip him of his clothes. They wound him. They beat him, and they leave him there half dead. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in that place. I've been beat up. And I'm not talking about just physically, but I'm talking about being in a place where you feel like you're really dying, that you just can't see the light of day. You can't see past what you're going through. It's very, very painful. And the Bible talks about this certain man. He's there and he's lying there on the ground and he's fighting for his life. And he's alone. Now, I don't know about you, but that don't feel too good when you're going through some stuff and ain't nobody around. You know, sometimes you just need a listening ear, maybe a shoulder to cry on. You know, somebody to understand your pain, somebody to maybe be a little empathetic and try to put themselves in your shoes. You might know it, not know exactly how they're feeling, but it's good to know that there's just somebody there. They might not even know how to help you, but just having their company does something. And so he's lying there and he's fighting for his life. And this parable, Jesus talks about how there's three people that cross paths with him. You know, this is a message that really, really, it's kind of like my life story. I get a little emotional sometimes, but I feel the presence of God. And the presence of God affects people in different ways. And for me, man, I weep like a baby. So don't mind if I shed a few tears. I can't forget where I came from and what God has done. in my life. You know, it said that they stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed. And I kept thinking about clothing and raiment and things like that. And I don't know, but it just kept coming back to like identity. And man, when you're going through some stuff, it's hard to see clear. It's hard to see what's going on. It's hard to focus. I remember being in a physical fight one time, and I got hit. I got punched so hard that, like, I was disoriented. Like, I mean, I couldn't see. I couldn't think straight. And I think about how when we go through things in life, how it affects us. We can't function. And here he is, just wanting somebody to come and help him. And the Bible talks about how there was a priest that came. Let's go to verse number 31. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now I'm going to give the priest a lot of credit here, because Jesus hasn't been to the cross to die yet, so we're still under old covenant. Okay, and the priest, according to the ceremonial law and Levitical system and stuff like that, they couldn't touch a dead body. They were considered unclean for 7 days. So I'm going to give the priest the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to say that as he's walking down this path, he takes notice of somebody that maybe appears to be dead. And so wanting to make sure that he's not, you know, disobeying God and stuff or whatever, so he just kind of just leaves him alone. He's dead. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm just going to go on my way. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Now, also, this road from Jerusalem to Jericho was very narrow. Our roads out here are pretty wide. And even our roads, I think about it, even when you're on a highway, if you're on one side of I-95, you know, you can be walking and you can see somebody on the other side. Now, I don't think that the roads back then were that wide. So, in other words, this man that he saw laying there, man, you can't just walk and not see the guy. But yet he chose to pass him by. Can you go to the next verse? It says, likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and he looked and passed by on the other side. Now see, the Levites, they accompanied the priest in temple duties. Okay, and so they're probably coming back. And yeah, they're under the old covenant, and they're not supposed to touch a dead body. But I have a problem with what the Levite did. Because you see, the priest, he saw him and he just kept on going. He went to the other side. But the Bible said that the Levite, he didn't just see him, but he looked on him. The look on him, you got to be close. In other words, I'm walking and I see somebody and I'm looking and I'm checking him out. He's got a broke leg, you know, he's bleeding, you know, man, he got knocked out. To come and to take notice of somebody, to get close enough to examine them and to look at them, but then make a deliberate decision that I'm going to walk. I'm going to cross by and I'm going to go to the other side and I'm just going to leave them in his mess. I have a problem with this. And you know, the reason I have a problem with this is because here they are, the priest and the Levite, and they're in the temple and they're making sacrifices and they're performing their responsibilities and stuff, you know. But the thing about it is they're missing it. It's that they want to keep the law, you know. You want to stay away and not help somebody so that you can be ceremonially clean. That's a tough word. I can't even get that out of my mouth. But you want to stay clean. You want to fulfill the law and everything else. But the Bible talks about how love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm in my mess, I don't want nobody to walk by me. When I'm hurting, when I'm dying, when I'm going through one of the most difficult times in my life, I know you might not know how to help me. But I meant you just pray for me. Don't leave me in my mess. You don't have to come. You don't have to hug me. You don't have to give me $5. None of that stuff. What do I need? I just need to know that I'm not in this by myself. I just bombard heaven on my behalf. Just intercede. But they chose not to do that. So not once, but twice, somebody crossed the path of this man. Beat up, wounded, stripped of his clothes, robbed, laying there fighting for his life. But then somebody else came. And this is why I said I think Jesus is getting a little cheeky with him, because it's a Samaritan. And if you know the story, how the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't get along. And Jesus used a Samaritan as an example of how they're supposed to, respond, and how what love really looks like. You see, we can say that we love people all day long, but love is an action. I'm going to get ahead of myself, and I'm going to spoil my own. Let's go to Matthew 9:13. So the Levite, he chose to look upon him, but then pass by the other side. But look what Matthew 9:13 says. It says, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And this is the story where he's talking about the tax collectors and how Jesus sat with them, and the Pharisees had a problem with that. And he's like, "Well, the sacrifices mean nothing. I desire love and mercy to be displayed." But I've learned something about God. I've been walking with the Lord for maybe 13 years, somewhere around there. And I've learned something, and I've learned that God's love is so great that if one person won't go and do something, and then the next person won't go and do something, God's going to continue to touch a person's heart and burden their heart to go to that person. That's the amazing love that God has. He's not going to give up. He's not going to stop. If Joe won't go and Billy wants to stay home, he's going to go and get Susie, and then he's going to keep on until he finds that person that says, "I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. I don't live for myself, but I live for him that died for me and gave his life for me. I can't pass by the other side anymore. That was the old lifestyle. That was the old man. The old man had his own agenda. The old man would just pass by. The old man was lying on the street, was lying in the midst of the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. The old man was the thief. They used to beat people up. But it can't do that anymore. It can't do that anymore. So the Samaritan comes on the scene. I gotta watch the time. It's amazing, when you get up here, you can prepare a sermon all you want and stuff, and you get up here and time goes pew, just like that. Verse 33, Luke 10:33. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." Uh-oh. Now, I'm just going to tell you how I see this, because like I said, I get kind of visual. And I see this Samaritan, and he's walking this road, and then he looks and he sees that somebody, he don't know if he's dead, half dead, if he tripped and fell or whatever, but he sees that somebody's down, and he's going to go and he's going to tend to them to see if they're okay. And as he gets a little bit closer, maybe he begins to examine and sees just how bad the condition and the situation is. And he had to make a choice right then and there. And that's just like us. We have to make a choice. We can choose to go on the other side, or we can choose to stop and be moved with compassion. Is that not what Jesus did? He saw the people as not having a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion to go towards them. So here the Samaritan, he's walking, and I just kept thinking about how, man, he must have been getting flashbacks of his story when he was laid down and somebody came to his aid, and he just couldn't bring himself to leaving this guy the way he was. And so what did he do? Is he went to him, and he didn't just say, I love you, or God, I love you, I love the Lord with all my heart, and I love my neighbor as myself, but I stay away from him when he's in time of trouble. No. I'm going to prove that I love you by demonstrating, by moving and putting things into action. If your nose is bleeding, I'm going to get a tissue. And I'm going to, I might not touch your nose, but I'm going to give you the tissue so you can put it there. If you,
Lord, forgive me.
If you got a broke leg and you can't walk, well, I'm going to do my best to carry you. If you're struggling with alcohol, I don't know, I'm not Jesus, but I'm going to love you. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm going to take you to rehab if you want to go to rehab. I'm going to pray the fire of God down and consume everything that stands in opposition to you. If your marriage is on the rocks, I'm going to pray and I'm going to intercede and I'm going to pray for restoration and grace and mercy to abound. I'm not going to leave you in your mess, because Jesus didn't leave me in my mess. He didn't leave us. He didn't leave you in your mess. He's not a mess maker. He's a mess cleaner. If that's even a word, I don't know. He cleans up the mess. Joyce Meyer talks, we're a trophy of God's grace. Takes old messed up old John and puts his spirit on him and his love in his heart. And next thing you know, you look in the mirror and you don't even recognize the person anymore. You're unchanged. How did that happen? Had an encounter with God. Had an encounter with God. I begin to think back and recall where I was at. Family can love you. Friends can love you. But they can't do what Jesus can do. So it gets better. So he sees this man and he's moved with compassion. 1 John 3:17, please. 1 John 3:17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shut up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? If we see that somebody has a need and God has brought provision to our life and we're able to alleviate that and we choose not to, how can we say that I got God in me and I love God? Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. How does the love of God abide in us? You see, many years ago, God began to deal with me about this word compassion. And I looked it up, and the definition of compassion is not only to have an awareness of someone's affliction. In other words, not only to have to pity them and to know and see what they're going through, but it is accompanied with the desire to alleviate it. You don't have true compassion if it isn't moving you. If you're not going to fix the problem, that's not true compassion. Compassion puts a fire under your rear end. Compassion gets you to move and do something. That's what's going to happen. That's what's happening now. We get a fire lit under our rear end, and now the city is changing. Prayers are ascending to heaven on behalf of the city of Vero Beach and the broken people. The church is getting outside of the four walls of the church, and they've realized that, hey, you know what? If our city remains this way, there's nobody to blame but us. He said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. He said, I give you, the Old Testament. The children of Israel are in bondage in Egypt. They're crying out by way of their evil taskmaster. God says, well, I see them in their affliction, and I hear their prayers, and I've come down to deliver them. But he goes to Moses, and he tells Moses, I'm going to send you to deliver the people. Well, hold up, I'm a little confused. God, didn't you say you were going to come down and you were going to deliver the children of Israel? Aren't you going to do it, God? No, I operate through my body. If there's going to be something that's done, I'm going to operate through my body. Those that have put their faith in me. You are my hands and my feet. You are my hands and my feet. I've given you my word. I've given you my spirit. I've poured out my heart. I've shed abroad the love of Christ by the Spirit of God in your heart. So if this city, if we see things in this city that don't line up with the word of God, I blame myself. I blame myself. How many times have I passed by somebody that was in dire need? And because I'm busy, you know, I got to pick up the kids, or I got to get to work, or I got to do this, I got to go grocery shopping, or whatever the reason is. I mean, this is real life, folks. And we pass by all the time, these people. I mean, how many times we go to Walmart, and then there's that clerk, and we like to complain all the time that, man, well, I'm not even going to bring that one up. I'll talk about Walmart. I was about to bring something else up, but I'm going to just leave that one alone. But you go in and you complain about the clerks. Man, the customer service is terrible. You know, nobody smiles anymore. They don't even say, hello, how you doing today? Nothing. They just basically want to ring your stuff, beep, 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 and then take your money, get you out the door. And they're miserable. They're miserable. They're living in this world without Christ, without hope. They have no joy in their life. Everything is circumstantial. And when things ain't going right, they're absolutely miserable. They're miserable all around us. They're miserable. Well, what's stopping us from looking at their name tag and finding out what their name is? And just, well, hey, Sarah, how are you today? Man, that's a really nice shirt that you're wearing. And then she smiles and says, wow, you have such a beautiful smile. And then she begins to, all of a sudden now she starts to light up a little bit. Because ain't nobody asked her how her day's been. Everybody just wants to complain. Man, that lady on 18, boy, don't go down that one. But you're the answer. You're the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We preserve life. We preserve life. We can speak something. We can speak under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and man, somebody get wrecked. The lady said, well, I'm sorry, but somebody's got to come take the register because I feel all this tingling and my makeup's going all crazy and I'm crying. I don't know what's going on. Let me tell you what's going on. The Holy Ghost got a hold of you. You're encountering the presence of the living God because the kingdom of heaven is here. It's here. Jesus, he said, for this reason was the Son of God made manifest, that he would destroy the works of the devil. Everything that the enemy desires to do, God has put in you to undo. You have the power, the authority to undo all of that stuff. But you got to move. We have to move. Come on, this one hit me. This one hit me. You know, my wife and I, we've been talking, man, we're so busy. There's so much stuff always going on. And it's been a while since I brought somebody to church. Let me just be truthful to you. It's been a while since somebody that I invited came to church, or, you know, that I reached out to somebody. This is stuff that we deal with. Let me just be transparent before you. But I have no excuse. I have no excuse. Because the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan were all headed in one direction. And there that certain man is lying, fighting for his life. They all had a choice. They could just keep on going, or they could stop and they could help him. But only one stopped to help. Lord Jesus, help me. Verse 34. Yeah, I don't have to answer to Pastor Alex. I'm going to honor my pastor in Jesus' name. Verse 34, so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. When you come across that person that is in need, you have something to give them. Because even if you don't have any money, even if you can't clothe them or put them up in a hotel or anything like that, you can pray for them. You can love them. You can embrace them. You can stand with them in the midst of what they're going through and not leave them alone. And it's amazing because God, you know, there's a scripture in Corinthians or something that says how God makes all grace abound towards us, that we, without having all sufficiency in all things, may be able to, you know, have enough for every good work, you know. And so basically what he's talking about is how God meets our needs with so much more to be able to meet the needs of others. And I kept thinking about everything that God blesses me with. It's not only to meet the needs of my family, but there's extra so that I can meet the needs of others. You know, and so here's this Samaritan, and he goes to him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal. On his own animal. He used the resources that God had given him to be able to meet the needs. You know, no more short arms and deep pockets. You know, it's okay, God, you've blessed me, but I'm going to use some of this stuff to be able to meet the need of somebody else. But this is something so powerful. It says that he brought him to an inn. And he goes there and even tells him, you know, that whatever else it's going to cost, I'll pay you when I come back. You see, we can go to somebody and we can love them, pray for them, clothe them, so on and so forth. But we must take them to the innkeeper. We must take them to Jesus. We must bring them to Christ so that they can cultivate a relationship with him. Because it's good to have somebody by your side and to help you go through some stuff. But we only know in part. We can only do so much. God knows the deep hurt. God knows just how to fix a person. If we try to operate in our own wisdom and stuff, we'll probably make it worse. But he took him to the innkeeper, and he left him with the innkeeper. You see, when you're out going through life and you're encountering the person at Walmart or the homeless person that is always asking you, you know, for food. And, you know, many years ago, I had this thing happen. I was at Checkers, and I was going through the drive-thru, and there was this homeless man that came up to me, and he says, you know, could you spare any money? You know, I'm hungry. And I said, well, I can buy you some food. I said, you know, what do you want, you know? And he's like, you know, whatever. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, I bought him a meal, and then, you know, he's coming up to get it. And I said, no, go have a seat at the table, and I'll bring your food to you, you know. And it was funny because at the beginning, when the guy approached the window, like, the first thing to come to my mind is like, man, he wants it for alcohol. Let me just be honest. A lot of homeless, they're struggling. They're struggling. And most of them are veterans. Most of them have been in the military, and they're living on the streets. I'm not okay with that. And so the enemy and all these thoughts come to my mind, you know, well, he just wants for alcohol and everything else, you know. And then I heard the Spirit of the Lord. And he said, feed my sheep. You feed my sheep. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to get him a sandwich. And no, feed my sheep. So I told him, go sit down. And I sat with this gentleman, and he ate his meal, and I was able to love on him and stuff. And something like that, you never know how that's going to impact a person. I was telling one of my good friends that just recently started coming to Oceans. I talked about how when you plant a seed in the soil, it takes a while before you see anything come up above that ground. You don't plant that seed and 10 minutes later, all of a sudden you got a big old tree. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. But after a period of a time, then the sprout comes up and it breaks ground. And then after it's exposed to sunlight and water, then it begins to grow. And then it begins to get stronger. Then eventually it begins to blossom and bear fruit. Trust me, that it's something so simple as telling somebody that, you know, you want to come and you want to pray with them. Or feeding a homeless person or clothing them or whatever it is. It's not insignificant. Don't be weary in well-doing, for you will reap in due season. If you faint not, do not faint, church. Do not faint. So are we going to change this city? Absolutely. But it's going to take all of us. It's going to take us. You know, I was thinking about this. The Holy Spirit is like water, rushing water. It's not stagnant water. It's moving. It's going somewhere. It is God's desire to always be moving and doing something. So I guarantee you every single day that if you wake up in the morning in your time of devotion with God and you ask Him, God, help me to see. Is that not what Jesus said to His disciples? He said, well, why do you say that there's yet 4 months and then comes a harvest? He says, well, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for the harvest is what ripe already for harvest. They're right there before us. But we've got to lift up our eyes. We've got to look on the field. We've got to look at the people in our family. We've got to look at the people at school. And we've got to look at the people at our jobs. And we've got to look. And know that the God that you have on the inside of you wants to impact their lives. Don't be fearful. Don't try to figure everything out. Just say, Holy Spirit, I yield to you. They need something. I don't know what they need. What do they need? And then all of a sudden you feel this prompting. You feel, you know, you get this thing come to your mind or you know, and you feel like this desire that you got to go over and you got to say something to them or you got money and you give them money, whatever. However the Spirit of God leads you, that's what's going to change the city. That's what's going to impact people's lives for real, because God is real. People need to see that God is real. He's not a picture on a wall, but He is a living God. So where are the certain men? The right under our noses. You don't have to look far. They're all around us. We see them coming to the church. You go out in the parking lot tonight, you're probably going to see somebody. And I'm not talking about, it doesn't have to be somebody that's bound up with addiction and stuff. It could be just somebody, you look on them and you see that they're hurting. You don't know what they're going through. But the God that's inside of you wants to touch them. Wants to love them. I pray that tonight, that this word really ministers to your heart. I pray that it would burden you. I'm just going to be truthful. It burdened me. Because it starts with us. It really does. If we want to see revival break out, we've got to make sure that our life, that we're dead. That we're dead and that we're alive in Him. That we're literally giving our lives over to Him. And we've got to be willing to let Him use us. We're going to see revival. We're going to see it. He's given us this city. He told Joshua, he said, every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, that I have given to you. He's going to drive out the inhabitants of the land. Go out and drive the Canaanites, the Jebusites, and the Ites, and the Ites, and whatever. But they compromised. They drove out some, but then compromised and lived amongst some of the others. Let's do it. If we're going to win 1 million people, we first got to win one. Just one. Just one. And maybe you're here tonight. And maybe you're the one that's beat up. Maybe you're the one that's in the fire, hurting, going through some stuff. You're in the right place. And the God that we serve knows all about what you're going through. And He wishes above all things that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. It is the will of God to see you made whole, free, and liberated by His love. And we're here as leaders to pray with you and stuff too. So after service, if you're here and you need prayer, you need somebody to love on you, that's what we're here for. We don't want you to leave out of here the same way that you came in. Amen. For we are relevant. We are the body of Christ. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Father, I look at this story and read throughout your word too, and I just see how you came across so many people that were in such great need. And you didn't hesitate. But you loved on them, the people that nobody else wanted to love on. And I keep thinking about it. It doesn't matter which side of the river we live on. It doesn't matter our social status, where we got a lot of money or we ain't got no money. It doesn't matter the color of our skin or the age, gender, none of that stuff. What matters is that we are your children. We belong to you. And as children, we are to reflect you. I pray that tonight, Father, that you would give us your heart. That you would give us your eyes. That when we look and we begin to see people, that we could see the value in them. That we could see past the dirty clothes, the smell of urine and alcohol, but past the fancy car and the big house and past the words that sound good, but there's a broken heart and a cry behind it. That we would be moved with compassion to help somebody so they don't have to go to the medicine cabinet and take pill after pill after pill after pill to alleviate the pain. That they don't have to go to the drawer and get the weapon to commit suicide, God. But we are your church. And we're here for you. So give us your heart. Give us your eyes. But most importantly, God, lead us by your Spirit. Wherever there is a person that you want to touch, I pray that you would start right here with us. That Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us, that you would prompt our heart to go and help us to be able to impact that person's life. There are far too many empty seats. There's far too many people out there looking to the things of this world, self-help books, and looking to liquor stores, and looking to pornography and immoral sexual relationships, and looking to famous people as role models and all of that stuff. But I pray that they would look unto you as their example. So tonight, Father, I ask that you would burden our hearts for the lost. You burdened the heart of Nehemiah, right? Is that not what you did? You burdened his heart to go and to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. Burden our hearts, God, to take this city one person at a time. One person at a time. We honor you and we love you. And I pray tonight, Father, that you would have your way in our lives. We give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise. And it is in Christ's name that we pray.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.